Ladies and gentlemen, it has been 384 days since the last time we released an episode, but once again, we are back from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chivas del Norte podcast. My name is Varo, and with me, as always, my co-host, Luis. Luis, what's up, man?
What's up, man? We're back. Don't say we're back, like, officially, because you know how things go. We might be back right now. We might be back 2 years from now. You never know.
Back with your yearly CDN podcast episode. We could do that. Yeah. Be a yearly podcast.
Yo, and we stuck to it because they were actually doing well and we didn't pod. Usually we don't pod when they're doing bad. When they're doing bad, then we don't pod. But now that we're doing well, and we still didn't pod.
Consistent.
Still
like
no
it.
Rego. Still no flow.
To be fair, we didn't ask them if they wanted the pod. I just figured they're busy.
Oh, I thought you were going to announce that they're officially gone. No. I thought we're officially kicking them out on the pod.
They've been released.
Released from their contract. They did not get signed to the colorful. They didn't get the extension.
Damn. Raul ran out of money.
They're too busy to be signing one-day contracts. That's what it is. Shout out to them.
Raul said I need to justify paying my paying the SoundCloud yearly fee, so I need an episode, guys. But we're back.
Pay us for this, bro. for keeping the network alive.
That's true. Everybody's back. I feel like a lot of
this is the award winning podcast, don't forget. We won the Fuck Mex Nation.
The Guardado. Guardado Award? Is that what it was called?
Is that what it was?
I think that's what they called them. I forget.
It was the Fuck Mex Nation Pod of the Year. We
and
stopped
Twitter
potting and no one won that award since. That's how great we were.
Too big. The shoes were too big to fill. Couldn't do
we
it.
We didn't pod so nobody else could pod either.
Dude, I think most of like the Liga MX ENG pods are done. Like I do know the Lion's Den does still put out episodes. Shout out to Gotti and the Lion's Den crew.
Shout out to Gotti, because she's like she's kind of a Chivas fan. No shout outs to the other guys.
the
no shout outs for anybody.
The our football podcast is still going. I think it's
actually,
Eugene
I
and Adriana
that on my
now.
Timeline. I do see that on my timeline. Actually.
Eugene and Adriana are doing that. I think Amy is taking a break from that podcast, but shout out to our Chivarmana Amy.
Shout out to Amy. Hooked it up with the Mexico jersey. Shout out to her and Adidas.
Oh, that's true. Shout out to the plug. I forgot about that.
Shout out to the plug. Shout
Something
out to
funny.
Gabby doing big things.
That's true. Host
from
of the of
from,
the official
from coming on the pod
Chivas English
to hosting We Goat You on the Chivas YouTube account.
Big things
when you come on Chivas del Norte.
Everybody's moving on up. Funny thing about that Mexico jersey, I still haven't worn it.
Well, is that the
I
one?
Couldn't,
nah,
I couldn't
there was
do
a jersey
it.
They didn't get to wear at the World Cup, right? The white one.
The white and burgundy one. That one was nice.
I definitely wore the one they gave me.
I couldn't do it. I was too embarrassed. That World Cup was so sad.
I didn't wear it during the Argentina game, though. I knew better.
We went out sad that World Cup. What a sad World Cup. What a sad performance.
Bro, we go outside every World Cup, to be honest.
We have some glimpse of hope going
we
to World Cups.
We got sadness like built into
this one, we had no hope. Well, I had no hope. I know Mexico fans that were like, oh, yeah, we're going to get out the group stage. Hell no, we were going to get out the group stage. I don't know what they were smoking. I don't know what drugs they were on, but we were never getting out of the group stage.
See, Russell I ain't talk like that because I talked like that last World Cup, and then we beat Germany. I was like,
and
we'll
what did it get us?
Germany.
What did it get us? Nothing. Nothing. Went out into the round of 16 like we always do. This time we didn't even make it to the round of 16.
Nah, it's better that way. You get to enjoy the other games, but you get to enjoy the other games a little bit earlier in the process.
We're gonna be even worse next World Cup because we don't have to qualify. We have no
Guardado anymore.
What? Thank God he retired. The only hope we have is what Santi Jimenez.
Herrera better announce his retirement too. I don't know what he's waiting for.
Word, I don't know what he's waiting for. The only hope
people
we have
still,
is Santi Jimenez.
Still
bro.
Hoping for Chicharito to come back. Like that's embarrassing.
Hey, like people still want him at Chivas.
Leave that man alone.
People still want him at Chivas.
He plays in a retirement league. You do not want to see him at a high high competition.
Is the Liga MX really a high competition though?
No, I'm saying it's the Mexican national team.
Oh. Yeah.
Bro, because
yeah.
I went to the MLS All-Star game when the MLS All-Stars played Atletico Madrid. Bro, they had Vela, they had Chicharito, they had Zlatan. All these guys killing it in the MLS. And they were going up against Atletico Madrid subs, and they were getting washed.
Yeah, the disparity between speed and skill in person when you're there. Like, on TV, I don't think it reflects as much.
No, it reflects how bad the defenders are sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes
but
just,
I
like,
mean...
guys just run wide open down the middle.
Yeah, I mean just in general, though, like the physicality, the touch, the speed. Because I remember I went to a Bayern Chivas game out here in New York.
Uh-huh.
And, dude, like, the Chivas players, it looked like they were just in slow motion. Like, it looked like they were running in sand, and the Bayern players were just gliding. Like,
yeah, that's, physicality that's how that wise, game was.
Physicality wise, they were getting bodied. Like, they only lost 1-0. And I was so happy that they only lost 1-0 because they should have got obliterated.
Also, shout out to the guy who thought it would be smart to have an All-Star game against Atletico Madrid. against the most boring team in Europe.
I think Arsenal is coming next year, right?
I don't know.
Are they the MLS All-Star game? I think back when they were still
they don't do
Liga MX versus
MLS? Or is that just something like another random event during the year?
I think that's done. Did they do that this year?
I'm pretty sure they did. I don't know. This is a no facts pod, by the way, because Lavaro watch games. I barely watch any games, so anything I say is bullshit right now. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, the 2023 MLS All-Star game is against Arsenal.
Now Arsenal's finished.
I think they booked that when they thought they were going to win the Premier League, but we all know that's gone. What a way to go out.
Shout out to Dan Man in Australia.
Sad.
Big Tottenham fan. Big Harry Kane fan.
All right, let's get into it, Luis. We got Chivas talk. We're semifinals bound against America. We're coming off a season with a brand new coach, a coach that a lot of media doubted, and something that we've always been preaching on the pod. We're going to get into that. We have the last two games we just played in the quarterfinals against Atlas, and I guess we'll preview what we think is going to happen in the Clásico Nacionales, or I think they call it the Clásico de México now. I don't think it's called the Clásico Nacional anymore.
It's not Super Clásico anymore.
That's super dead. I remember growing up, it was a Super Clásico.
Still is a Super Clásico. That other game, come on. Nobody cares about Monterrey and Tigres. Except for the people in Monterrey.
I don't think that's why they changed it, though. I don't know why they changed it. I'm not sure, but they went from Super Clásico, then Clásico Nacional, and now I think it's called the Clásico de México? Something like that? Maybe they thought it was too nationalistic or something? I don't know. But it is what it
is.
We're playing Club America. Pretty much in Mexico, yes. We're playing Club America in the semifinals. We're going to get into that. First, I guess we'll start off with the Chivas season recap in like 30 seconds because you didn't really watch much of the regular season. I watched almost all the games.
I had good reason. Whenever I did sit down and watch them, they would lose or they would get scored on. So, to help you guys feel better about Chivas, I didn't watch them, and they won. And they finished third. Look at that.
That's fair. That is fair.
Yeah. I sacrificed myself for you guys. No more sacrificing anymore, though.
Did you watch these last two?
The curse got broken Sunday. No, I think I watched part of the first game.
Okay.
I think I watched the second half. And then nice. I did watch the game on Sunday. So
all right, excited. There you go. So the curse is broken.
Curse is broken.
You we're can watch the games.
We watched Atlas. We're gonna watch America. I'm gonna win the championship against Tigres. I called it already. That's how the title run's gonna be. We're gonna beat Atlas, beat America, and send Gignac into retirement.
That would be lovely. I would love that. What's it called? Have you seen like all these tweets and like TikToks about all the coincidences that are aligning with the 2017 championship run?
Nah, I haven't. I don't have TikTok. No, we don't allow that in my household. Chinese spies.
So there was I didn't write him down because I forgot we should have made this a talking point. But all right, so we have a foreign coach, right? We had Almeida, Argentinian. We got Paunovic, who's Serbian, right? I think he's from Serbia.
Yeah, he's Serbian.
Yeah, so we got that. The final is going to be played on May 28th. When Chivas won in 2017, the final was played on May 28th.
It was my birthday, by the way. Shout out to me.
Oh, yeah, that's your birthday?
Yeah.
Damn, that must have been
they won the championship on my birthday, and I remember that. Yeah.
That's fire. That's fire. They finished in third in 2017. They finished in third this season. They played Atlas in the quarterfinals in 2017. They lost the first game 1-0. They won the second game 1-0 off a corner kick goal. We win. We lost this year 1-0 against Atlas in the quarterfinals, and then we win the second game 1-0 with a corner kick goal. Damn. I think the last time Argentina won the World Cup, in the World Cup, Chivas was a champion that season.
Nah, they last didn't win the World Cup.
Argentina?
Yeah. This is Messi's first one.
No, but they won the World Cup before. The last time Argentina won the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
Argentina existed before Messi.
You're saying in the 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s. No, whenever the last time they won. That last time they won, Chivas won the league that following season. The last time Napoli won their championship, Chivas also won the league. What other coincidences do we have? We launched in 2017 as an all-English Chivas podcast.
Award-winning podcast.
And then
we weren't Chivas before that?
No. I think because you came on to the show like maybe a season or two seasons after.
All right,
it was like maybe 2018 around there.
I think I had just started potting when I went to the CONCACAF game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so it was around there, and then so we launched in 2017 as an English Chivas podcast. This season, Chivas launches their own English. Chivas launches their own all English content on with We Goat You, so you know that's another coincidence
with the CDN affiliate,
CDN alumni. Shout out Gabby. What else? What other coincidences? I don't know, but the stars are aligning, man. It's happening. I feel so stupid because I'm starting to believe.
But look, we've reached the point where we're so close, it's good enough to believe. Like, it's nothing wrong with believing at this point. We only got, what, four games left? Four games left, we only got to win two, technically.
Yeah, you only got to win two more times. You can draw and then win the second game.
Yep.
But yeah,
I'm just excited that, like, to believe. Like, you're starting to see it on Twitter. Like, people starting to feel like believe, starting to like get into it again, which is something that we didn't have for a long, long time. We went through so many coaches after Almeida, and you know we. Every fan loved Almeida so much that like it was a lot of suffering, man. It was a lot of suffering.
Dude, off the top of our heads, we went through Tomas Boy, bomb. Tomas Boy, R.I.P.
Oh shit, my bad.
He died, right? Tomas Boy passed away, right?
I'll take that back then.
Tomas Boy, RIP. Cardoso. Sure. Cardoso, bum. Absolute trash.
Bum.
Vucetich, fraud. Bum. Complete fraud.
Fuck him for benching Nene Beltran.
Who else did we have after him? After Vucetich, we had...
Ricky Chains.
Oh, Ricky Chains. He did all right.
He had his moments.
He had his belief for a little bit.
We had like another carousel bomb. I'm sure we did. Enrique Mesa? Nah.
No, he never made it. we had a... What's his name?
We didn't make it that far back.
Leaño.
I mean, he was undefeated for like 2 games. Give that man his proper respect.
We had the right idea. Oh, we had Tena, yeah.
Bro, we hired Tena. Like in
fourth place or something.
Bro, we hired Tena.
And then COVID happened.
Off like the 2012, no, after that Olympic win.
I mean, yeah. What else?
And that was like 10 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how these coaching decisions make sense, but
fans were crying for Tuca Ferretti.
Jimmy Lozano.
I mean, I would have taken him at the time, but yeah.
But I don't think he's coaching right now, right? He was at Necaxa. He got fired. I don't think he has a job right now. They wanted the guy from Pumas. I forgot what his name was.
Sampaoli,
was that his name? No, not Sampaoli. Nah. Definitely not Sampaoli. Ling something.
Lilini or some shit?
Lilini, I think. Yeah, something like that. They wanted him. They wanted Tuca Ferretti. They wanted Jimmy Lozano. And then Paunovic comes out of nowhere and they sign him. And we also get a new sporting director. Peláez is out since we last potted. He's gone. We have, what's his name? Hierro, right? As our sporting director now?
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna say they did a good job like signing players because we didn't really do much in terms of signing. We brought in.
Who did he sign? He just brought players back, no?
We got what's his name? Pocho Guzman. Pocho Guzman was the big signing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then I don't think the Antuna trade for Piojo Alvarado was Hierro's reign. I think that was still something Ricardo Peláez did. If I remember correctly. Again, yeah, we are not right. A facts-based podcast.
Yeah, no.
We're just fans ranting and venting about Chivas, and we finally have something to smile about again. All right, so that's like the quick recap of what we got. We bring in Paunovic. We bring in Hierro as a sporting director.
Great move. And,
yeah, something we've always preached on this podcast, Luis. Why is there an obsession with these Mexican carousel coaches? And I know you have no affinity for Mexican soccer coaches.
Nah, you should never hire them. The rest of the world doesn't hire them, except for Aguirre. Why should we hire them? Like, they're not good. Mexican coaches aren't respected. The national team doesn't play well enough to be like, wow, I want to hire a Mexican coach. Like, nah. Like, I'm glad Chivas did what they did. And look, and it goes to show, like, the importance of a good sporting director. Like, a lot of those names you named were all Peláez's hires. And, like, he failed the team so many times.
When
Hierro comes in and in one move.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think we had big moves like that.
Hiring of the coach.
Oh, yeah, the hiring of the coach.
Like,
yeah,
how definitely. Important the coach is. And one of the things I think we always said, I don't know through which coaching era or reign, was that you never saw like a style of play. Like, I watched a few games here and there throughout the season, enough to see like the work that Paunovic has done with the team.
Yeah, it's nice to finally have a system, have a style of play. Even though we don't see it for 90 minutes, I don't think maybe there's one game we've seen it 90 minutes. This last game against Atlas was one of the best games Chivas played all season. But it's basically the same players, like you said. You know, it was just the coach that changed. We didn't bring in any big players. We brought in Daniel Rios as a striker. We brought back Ronaldo Cisneros. We got Pocho Guzman. JJ Macias, I think, is something that Bonovic and Hierro were really betting on, and unfortunately he tore his ACL again. And at this point, I think we have to start questioning if he's ever gonna not even be the same, maybe not even play again.
Yeah, I feel like at one point I was saying that about Carlos Cisneros too, and he kind of made a resurgence in his career.
That's true.
At what level he'll ever return, I don't know, but it's unfortunate. Like, whether we like them as a player or not, like, it's unfortunate that he's going through what he's going through.
Right. And, I mean, I think we were big on J.J. Mussie, as we wanted him back. We were really excited to have him back, but he could never stay healthy, or he just never had the supporting cast that he kind of needed at Chivas to succeed like we saw him succeed at in León.
Yeah, we were so happy that León didn't want to pay the $10 million for him, or whatever it was.
Yeah, they definitely jacked up the price because they knew León wasn't gonna pay up.
Yeah,
but it's unfortunate.
We fucked up.
Yeah, he had his little stint in Spain with Getafe, which were an absolute dog shit team. I watched them play a couple of times, and I don't know how they were a professional soccer team.
Those couple of times, two or three times,
because I think he was riding an injury the whole time he was out there too. He just can't stay healthy, and it sucks because I think he had that. He was one last hope of developing a Mexican striker. Obviously, we have Santi Jimenez now playing well in the Dutch league. He doesn't ask for that one-time permission. Can he could still do that, right?
I don't think so. I think he's played enough.
Is there a minute regulation or whatever?
I think so. Or because the kid that just did it with the U.S., I don't think he's ever played for the main national team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Shout out Dan, man. Check out his Twitter if you want to see some comedy. Never seen someone get flamed so much on a tweet.
I'm actually shocked that Balogun switched over, but that's a discussion for a different pod. Yeah. Not on the Chivas del Norte podcast. All right, so let's go back to Chivas. We're talking about J.J. Macias, his injury. It's unfortunate, and that kind of set the tone for the style that Bonovic was going to play. We've been playing without a nine most of the season, and at times you could tell it kind of hurts the team, but we've managed to push through the season, and we finished in third place, which is honestly a great finish for a coach that supposedly knew nothing about the league and wasn't ready to come into the league. The Mexican media was shitting all over the Bonovic move. A lot of them were why are you bringing a coach that doesn't know the league? Chivas needs a coach that knows the league, that knows what they're doing. And we've said it on here so many times before, what is there to learn? Why is it so hard to come into Mexico and coach? What exactly do you need to learn?
Yeah.
And we've had Carlos Yusis, shout out to Carlos from Telemundo, on the pod. And he made a good point that I was like, all right, you know what? That's actually a good point, that coaches that come into the league have to learn how to deal with the Mexican press and the Mexican media. Because I don't think you get this kind of scrutiny
Oh, well, he was in MLS before. I'm sure he never got
anything closer
to what he's getting right now. The attention, the media attention, the fan attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he also really hasn't had to deal with any downs, has he?
No, not really. The Clásico Nacional during the season was probably the most backlash he had received as a Chivas head coach for now. I think that was an atrocious game. We got absolutely stomped on our own pitch. Pretty embarrassing.
There's a part of me that it's I'm not too mad at it, especially heading the fact that we have to face América. He seems like a good coach. He seems like a smart coach. When Almeida won, he had to learn the ways that playoffs were played different than the regular league. Maybe you have to be more defensive minded. So maybe he learned something from that loss that he can carry over into the playoffs, into the semifinals.
Right. I think we're gonna be okay. I think that game was hopefully an anomaly. Although I was worried after the first leg against Atlas. But just to touch a little more on, you know, the fact that
different Alan Mosso too. It's not the same Alan Mosso this time around.
The foreign coach. The foreign coach coming into Mexico, Luis, you want to get into that topic a little and then we can move on.
No, I've just always been I just always been a fan of something different, right? Like at one point, not even necessarily foreign coach, but I would have even taken who's the dude that's in the MLS, the Mexican player who coaches?
Gonzalo Pineda, yeah.
Right, the fact that he just was learning somewhere different, not in Liga MX. Like, we don't have to just stick to this one place. Like, we don't play the best soccer in the world, right? Our goal should be to be the best. It shouldn't be like, you don't want to be satisfied just being at the level you're at. Like, if Chivas isn't their place, like, regardless, the coach should want to coach them to be the best team they could possibly be. So I've never been mad at the foreign option. I never understand the media backlash. I don't know if it's because they don't know anything about the coaches, that they can't criticize or they can't talk about them, but I've never understood it.
Yeah, I think now we're seeing it was a smart move. It was a good move. I do think early on Paunovic was getting a little criticized, but all that's gone away. We're Chivas fans are dreaming again. We finished in third. What's the last? I had something that just had popped up into my head, and now I'm blank again.
I will say from the few games that I've watched, no facts. I might be wrong on this, but I feel like I've seen the style of play. You can see it on the field. You can see the fact that we don't have a striker. You see a lot of center midfielders making runs into the box. I've seen Nene Beltran make running, like sneak in behind the defense. Pavel Perez sneak in behind the defense. And I'm sure that's worked from the coach. Which we always say, like when you had a coach, like we were bad at scoring goals. Like you got to find different ways. You can't just rely on a striker. You have to send those runs. When we had Chicote Calderon and we never used them, the proper way, like you have to find different ways of trying to score, of creating an attack.
Yeah, definitely agree. I remember what I was gonna say. One last thing that we kind of fixed, that Chivas fixed, that Hierro fixed, that maybe Paunovic fixed, or maybe the fact that we actually have a locker room leader now in Pocho Guzman. We kind of cut out the shenanigans and stuff outside of the locker room, outside of the field, right? Our players were kind of in the headlines all the time for the wrong things.
Just got fined. Supposedly, he's getting fined.
That was an accident. He said it was an accident. So he didn't see the full post. He just saw the first couple of seconds of that post. I didn't know what was going on until I logged on to the Chivas del Norte Discord. Shout out to everybody in the Discord. But
that might just be the locker rooms together. You don't, like you said, you don't hear that noise. You don't hear any outside noise from anything, any problems at the locker room. The coaches have seemed to bought into the players have seemed to bought into the coach. Last time we saw it was with Almeida, and we saw how great that was. Regardless of, I mean, we want to win, but I think the best thing is that we're in the right direction.
Yeah, we cut out all the locker room cancers. You don't hear anything come out of the locker room anymore. You know, you see players kind of argue with each other on the pitch every now and then, but that's always going to happen when you play on the team, right? You're always going to be mad at your teammate in the moment, and then in the locker room, you just talk it out. I think it happened in I forget what game it was, but Pollo and Guzman were like walking off the pitch and they were kind of arguing, but it was because Paunovic had told Pollo to run to the locker room and stay there because they were trying to bait him into a red card. and Pocho Guzman was yelling at him to go give the fans, like, you know how they walk up to the fans and clap,
yeah,
and like salute them or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was mad that Foyer was running to the locker room. And then as soon as that happened, it was on Twitter for like 10 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. And then within those 10 minutes, Pocho Guzman goes live on Instagram. And he's like, nah, he's like, bullshit. He's like, we worked it out. He's like, there's no issue there. There's nothing happened. He's like, and he explained exactly what happened. He's like, Pavlovic told him to go to the locker room. I wanted him to go, you know, thank the fans. And, you know, he told me, Pavlovic told him to go to the locker room. And that's it. We worked it out. And like before, they let that run for like 2 or 3 days before they even say something. Yeah. But that tells you, that tells you how Pocho Guzman has adapted so quickly to Chivas, where he's like, you know what? I'm just going to kill this right away. Goes on Instagram Live from his car leaving the stadium. He's like, we're going to dead that.
He's the captain, right?
I think so.
What? Yeah, I feel like I saw him take off the armband the other day.
I think he is our captain.
Which is like pretty so sure. rare for a new player, right? Especially when you have players that have been there for a long time. But I think, like you said, it goes to show, like, you can see it in him that he is a true leader. And it's maybe something that, although we had a great player like Alexis Vega, I don't think you ever saw like that leadership quality.
No, we hadn't had an on-field or locker room leader in so long. I think probably Carlos Salcido during the Almeida era was our last real on-field leader.
Yeah.
Because remember, they kept trying to push Molina as a locker room leader and an on-field leader, and I hated Jesus Molina so much. His time at Chivas, I hated him every minute.
He was, like, for me, in my mind, he's like the midfielder Oribe Peralta. Like, that's how bad he was, bro.
even Oribe, they tried to push him as, like, a leader. Like, look what he does off the field. I was like, what does he do?
He's going to talk to Chofis on the bench. Like, fuck out of here.
Yeah, we hadn't had a real locker room leader in years, I think. Maybe Pollo Briseño, but I don't think he had, like, the on-field talent for people to kind of fall in line with him.
Yeah, I will also say another thing about Panovic, and again, just watching the game on Sunday or little that I've watched, is he's gotten stuff out of players that maybe at some point we probably discussed were probably on their last legs at Chivas or on their way out. I know Flo never doubted Conejito Brizuela, but I'm sure there was times where we probably were like, man, maybe his time at Chivas has come to an end, and it clearly hasn't.
That's true. Flo has always been a diehard for El Conejito.
I mean, he still wants Fabian back. Marco Fabian back. Come on. Flo got to relax.
I think that's the player that made him fall in love with Chiba. So I don't blame him. Yeah. He said that that goal against Barcelona is like his favorite Chivas goal of all time. Great goal. Great goal.
I mean, we all have that player. I'd still take trophies back.
Hey, he disappeared after we beat Pachuca this season.
This is true.
We had him in our pocket, and then he disappeared. Because he had that great start, remember? Where everyone's like, oh, he's going to be the MVP of the season.
Yeah, people were starting to say he should get called to the national team.
National team, and then he plays Chivas and disappears. He disappeared. We put him in our pocket.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's a good season recap of how we've gotten to where we've gotten so far. We mentioned the devastating loss against America towards the end of the season. I think that's one of those losses that kind of helps, though, right? Because up to that point, a lot of fans were like, oh, we're gonna win the league, we're gonna be in first place, and then we got a harsh dose of reality with that game, and it kind of made Chivas settle down and, you know, plant their feet on the ground and kind of rebuild all over again.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that, because literally just before we started potting, I was on Twitter and I seen a video. I guess they were interviewing somebody on Telemundo. Somebody was interviewing Panovic, and he said that the loss, thinking about that loss, that it was a humbling experience.
Yeah, definitely. I think, because what else are you going to take away from that? You have to, like, you have to reverse that into something positive, because if you just take it as an ass whooping, that's it. What do you have to learn from that? I think that's definitely motivation for the players. I think it's obviously motivation for Pavlovic. I think we've seen that he can watch games and learn from them. clearly what happened with the game one against Atlas, and then the second leg of the quarterfinals with Atlas, it was a whole new game.
And I think it also, you realize it's not that much. Like when you get your ass up that bad, and you look at the standings, and then Chivas where they should be, like there's not. Like, obviously, something went wrong in the game. Aside from, okay, maybe are they better than us? Maybe by a little, but they're not really that much better to the point where we should get destroyed like that, right? So there's stuff that you can correct and fix heading into the semifinals.
Right, yeah. I mean, America has... Well, actually, I don't even know if they have, like, the more expensive roster because a lot of our players' prices are inflated. And yeah, but they do have... They probably have... Talent-wise, they probably have a better roster, right? I think that's fair to say. On paper,
I guess I don't like Henry Martin.
Right? Yeah, I've never been a Henry Martin fan either. But can't deny that he scored 14 goals or whatever he scored this season.
Like Jonathan Dos Santos, I'm looking at their like, yeah, they have some players that are good. Yeah.
Zendejas is killing it with them. Which sucks because we had him and he didn't do anything for us. Another one that got away, but yeah, I think
how's the thread coming along?
How's the what?
How's the
thread, how's that thread coming Chivas along? Let me, dude, I think I posted. Yeah, definitely 200. Last night, Yashira Barrientos scored for León Femenil, and that was part 226. shout out to Yashira Barrientos. I always liked her on Chivas Femenil.
Shout out to Melissa too.
Word. Shout out to Melissa. I'm a try to pod about Chivas Femenil. They got their quarterfinals coming up as well. They're playing Pachuca Femenil on Thursday night too. So if you guys want to watch that. That will be at... I'm just going to say everything in Eastern Standard Time Zone because that's the time zone that we know. The Femenil game will start at 8 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be against Pachuca Femenil. And then same night, 10 o'clock, Chivas Varonil versus America. So we'll have 4 hours of Chivas Liguilla soccer on Thursday. And I don't know. I got to double check the second leg schedule, but I think Chivas Femenil is actually going to have to play at El Jalisco as opposed to Akron because I think they also play this. Yeah.
Oh, they're both home?
Yeah, they both play at home on Sunday. So Sunday they're going to play at 7 p.m. at El Jalisco because the men's team will be using the stadium to play. Oh, no, they're going to play at Azteca. I don't know why they don't get to play at Akron then.
And I'm assuming... that you guys going to do a charla Chivas before the Femenil game? 7 o'clock?
Yeah, or is Gabby actually, gonna be we could probably do
from
that.
All the Chivas content?
I don't know. I have to talk to her about that, but probably.
From two Chivas games.
Dude, 4 hours on Thursday night. Well, what is it? 180 minutes of Chivas Liguilla soccer. That Pachuca and Guadalajara, Pachuca and Chivas series is going to be crazy because their regular season game ended, I think it ended 3-3. Chivas was losing 3-1 and came back to.
Is Licha still the best striker in the world?
She's killing it, dude. She was out for.
I thought she was injured, and she came back and scored like first game back.
Yeah, she was injured. I think for I forget like maybe like two and a half months, and as soon as she comes back, she scored bangers. Bro, like, she scored in like every game she played so far.
Yo, some of the goals she scores are like unreal.
Telling you, like I did. Did you see that?
Like male, female, it don't matter. Like some of the goals she scores, like make no sense. And at the rate at which she scores,
it's insane. Like if she, it sucks because she's gotten hurt. I think the last two seasons, and it's kind of cut down on her goal tally. But I think she would have definitely been threatening that Omar Bravo record if she hadn't. Picked up the injuries that she did pick up. Sure she'd be up there. She can probably still do it, but it's just gonna be a little harder. But just to go on a tangent, and then about Licha and some of the feminine players, I put out a tweet a couple of maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, where the rumors of Brizuela possibly retiring were kind of circling around. And I asked if Brizuela is one of the greatest Chivas signings that we've ever had.
I remember that.
And I think people were just like appalled that I would suggest that. And I was like, what is appalling about that? We've signed players. So I've been a Chivas fan probably what, for 20 something years, 22, 23 around there. Like, yeah. diehard, where I remember the rosters and I remember the players. Because I do have memories of them in, like, the 98, 99, but I didn't know the game and I didn't know the players like that. So in those,
I asked if Licha has the greatest signing.
Yeah, I think she, if you include Femenil players, she's top two. To me.
Because people were mentioning Claudio Suarez, I remember.
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't put them in because I never saw them play. People or I don't remember them playing. Them. Well, I mean, my number one was Ramoncito, and and that's the player that made me Ramoncito, fall in love with Chivas. Yeah. So that's always gonna be my one. And then I put in Licha too. On my list. If we're She's doing men it's and tough. Women.
That's an interesting debate. Who's the greatest Chivas fan? Because she's definitely up there.
I mean, she has to be. She basically...
I mean, as far as impact on the field, she might be number one.
Impact on the field and institution-wise.
And it's like instant impact.
Yeah. She has a league title. She has the Campeona de Campeones, Campeona de Campeonas title. Chivas has finished in, I think, in the top four every season that she's been on the team. She won two goal scoring titles, two golden boots. And then you also have, I would also throw in Carolina Jaramillo as one of the greatest signings of all time for Chivas as well. Just because I think Licha and Caro have been like the catalyst for where the women's team is and how fast they've progressed after having that decline.
The Maria Sanchez, Licha Cervantes, it was special, bro.
Yeah, unfortunately, that team broke apart in the locker room that season.
It was like cross goal.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it was against Rayadas. That's still one of my favorite Chivas goals ever.
That's when
I started
to watch games. Then they broke the team apart, and the fact that they came back,
yeah,
even, like, stronger, is
that's
impressive.
When you were out. When they got rid of Maria Sanchez,
yeah.
Norma
Palafox, I like the other player.
Nicole Perez. That was your girl. Nicole Perez.
That shit hurt.
Still yeah, hurts. I remember it. When they broke the team, that was it. You were out. You jumped off the ship. And then I think two seasons later, they won the championship. They made the final against Tigres, lost. And then they won the final against Pachuca.
The Femenil has always done things way better than the male, at least in recent years.
Yeah, it's getting a little more complicated, but it's like some of these teams are stacked, and the fact that Chivas Femenil competes toe-to-toe and Gex like takes them to the limit or even beats them is crazy.
Nah, I don't like Weasel stealing our talent. Taking Maria Sanchez from us, Weasel, that's fucked up. We have special things going, Chivas.
All right, let's dive back into the Chivas men's team.
That's our little guys.
every 10. Hey, yo, pause.
yo. Now we might have to edit that one now.
I'm definitely leaving that in there.
Hey, yo. I might lag off. Gotta go take a shower. There you go.
You get the nasty award.
Yeah, that was nasty. I got a lot.
All right, so we go back to the men's team. That was like the third or fourth tangent we've gone on this podcast. But that's always how it is. If you've been a long time Chivas del Norte podcast listener, you know we have ADD, we have ADHD. We jump from topic to topic and somehow always end up making it work. So let's talk Chivas Atlas. The first game, we lose 1-0. I think that was probably the worst game that Chivas had played so far this season. nothing about that game gave me hope that we were going to turn it around in the second leg. I don't know how you felt.
Well, I barely watched it. Picked a good game, but I barely watched it. I think moments, and I think what I usually do is I put the TV on. I don't like how they're playing. I turn that shit off. That was one of those games.
Yeah, it was a really bad game. Chivas, I don't even feel like we threatened Atlas at all that game. Atlas counterattack looked insane. We had no answer for it. The goal they scored, we knew going into the game where the ball was going. We knew it was going to Furch. We knew then it was going to go to Quiñones. And they scored exactly how everybody had predicted it. They do a long ball to Furch. Furch heads it down to Quiñones. And Quiñones puts it past Joaquin Jimenez. Exactly what...
You just gave me flashbacks of the last 5 minutes of Sunday.
I mean, at least on Sunday... We were doing that on purpose, right? Bandamich decided to sit back and try to absorb the pressure and hope we bent and not broke, right?
Bro, and that's what happened. Man, my thing with that is, though, like, do not let the guy cross the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine that you want to sit back, but don't let him comfortably find Furch in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, at least bother him, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like So I know a lot of fans. I saw some people like, we washed that Atlas. We beat them. We destroyed them.
We did.
We did not. That first game, I think they hit the crossbar two times, and then the game at Akron, they hit the crossbar once. And I think Furch, the header you're talking about, he hits the post in like late 80 something minute or late or early 90s or whatever.
So there was another one that watched a block, no?
Oh yeah, there was two that watched a block at the end. Mm-hmm. So we could have lost. You know, that sitting back, we on the pod, we're not fans of the whole go up 1-0 and then sit back and try to win the game like that. We've never been fans of that. I tweeted it out from the CDN account. I was like, please don't sit back and try to protect the 1-goal lead. Yeah. And what do they do? Sit back and try to protect the 1-goal lead. Thankfully it works out. I think this game, the second game, was exactly the kind of turnaround game that Chivas needed, that Paunovic needed. I had seen the narrative of Paunovic's Chivas don't know how to play Clásicos starting to develop, because we had gotten washed against América. The regular season Clásico Tapatío was a 3-3 shootout, where it was more of teams making mistakes as opposed to them just being really good. And then the first leg of the Atlas game, where we were outplayed and just looked terrible.
They had our boy under pressure.
he had to come out with a masterclass, and he made the switches he thought were gonna do it. Brizuela got a start. Pollo Briseño got a start, and I think also, I don't remember if he was one of the changes that Paunovic made, but it worked out for him. Briseño had.
You're probably going to read the stat that I saw, probably.
What's the stat?
Had what? I don't know. He won like 10 out of the amount of clearances. Headers.
Yeah, the amount of clearances. I think he lost only two headers in the air.
Yeah, with Furch specifically, I think.
With Furch and, yeah, I think against Furch. And then obviously he had plays on Quiñones as well. But having the faith in Briseño and letting him start after the abysmal defense and play that we had in that first leg, that's a big energy from Paunovic. Because remember, Pollo Briseño is not
balls to do that, bro.
Yeah,
it takes balls to like go away from like a starter and put someone just for like a specific role,
right? Because we agree, right, that Pollo is not the most talented center back we have on the roster, but he has
not the most talented coming
heart.
Out back either.
He has
out the back. Pause again.
He has heart.
The ball out the back.
Yeah, he has heart. He's very
he'll
physical.
Fight. He'll
he has
fight
that
for
physicality.
You know that.
Yeah, he has the physicality, and he'll die for the team. He will die on that pitch. He leaves it all every single game.
Listen, but he's a player that if you have a ball possession style and you creative attacking style, that maybe he doesn't fit. Right? You don't even. But he did what he had to do to nullify their offense, their attack.
He played a perfect game. I'm trying to think, like, what? I think he had, like, one slip up. I think that Furi chatter might have been him that lost somebody, that lost Furi on that on that last minute header. But besides that, he played a great game. He did Nene exactly what. Yeah, Nene Beltran, Alan Mosso, great game from him that second game.
I mean, I don't know if that's the best. Is that the best game he's played for Chivas?
Off the top of my head, top three. I would have to like rewatch stuff, but that was definitely one of the best games that he's played in the Chivas jersey. It took him a while to get going, though. At the beginning of the season, people were starting to think he was a fraud, me included. I thought we got fleeced on that. That was another signing we had, Alan Mosso.
Well, look, we're gonna have to see. We're gonna find out more about Alan Mosso against America, because America destroyed him during the regular season. They destroyed that right side of the defense.
Yeah, so we're gonna see what adjustments happen. And then Chiquita Orozco got switched over to the left back position. He played great. He had that goal line clearance, I think, late in the first half.
Was that at the end of the game?
No, the goal line clearance, that was the first half. If that goes in, I think it would have been over, because Chivas would have had to push like crazy. And again, the Atlas counterattack would have been there all day for them.
No, that save was amazing, bro. Mm-hmm. He came out of nowhere. Watch out.
Yeah, that's.
Full to beat, watch out perfectly, it was over.
The foot drag, the ball drag. And just got past them, shoots, and then she get that out of nowhere. Clears that ball.
Oh, you're right. It wasn't the first half.
Yeah, it was the first half.
She was in North Dakota. Yeah, 37th mm-hmm. minute.
Yeah, that goes in. It's over. That would have killed the game, I think, for us.
Yeah, because it was 0-0. Yeah, it would have been very difficult to overcome that.
Yep.
I was waiting for the rest to help us out. I was like, the league, come on, the league don't want a fucking Atlas to go through.
Hey, they tried that first game.
Fucking handball though. But they didn't fucking call.
They gave us one that first game, that penalty.
Oh, that
was never that was never a PK.
That I did watch.
And then
I probably would have turned it off.
And then Borcho's PK gets blocked. So that was ass.
Nah,
but
I think it was that fucking we handball. Bounced back. Fucking ref. Clear handball.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Bro, like it's not nothing more clear than a ball bouncing and his arm coming down on the hand. Like he didn't get pushed into it. Nothing. It didn't deflect off his leg into his hand.
He basically played basketball. That one. That was a basketball dribble.
Bro, he didn't even go to bar. What's the point of replay? What's the point of having it?
I'm already wasting the bar funds for the first leg. He had none left. None left for the second game. He needs more of that Canelo fight money.
Hey, they talked on the broadcast how the pitch was on point. The field
it didn't look too bad.
Gets messed up.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad. I guess they took care of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't want to let the feminine team play. We just fucked up. If Chivas advanced, they're like, let's try to preserve the pitch as much as possible. Fucked up. They should still let them play at home. It's a home game. But yeah, we beat Atlas 1-0.
It's better than some other feminine teams that I could have sworn I watched games Chivas play where they're playing away and they got them playing like on training grounds.
Oh yeah, I think
like they don't even have like the correct cameras.
Yeah, I think the majority of them, at least for Liguilla now, play in actual stadiums.
Yeah,
I think Cruz Azul was one of the last ones that had them in training grounds, and maybe Puma. No, Puma's feminine plays at the Seu now. Yeah, I think they're done with that. Right, so we beat Atlas 1-0. We got a Tiva Sepulveda goal, which kind of I was so mad Because the first game, I put money on Diva Sepulveda to score.
Nah, you're a degenerate early, gambler. You're a degenerate early, gambler.
Dude, hear me out. Hear out my logic. And everybody
hold on,
I told.
Hold on. Before you get to your logic, I just want to say that there's nothing you can say that will justify that logic. But go ahead.
All right. So you didn't watch the first 3-4 games of the season.
Nah.
There were, on all our corners, Diva was the target guy. And on every corner, at least like 2 corners per game, he should have scored goals. And then out of nowhere, Bounovich just put him away. He tucked him away. And my logic was, he saw what he had to see. And he was like, let me put these away and save it for a rainy day. I was one game early. Because Diva scored the second
game. Still not logical.
How is that not logical? He saw what he had to saw. He saw what he had to see. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna keep these, you know, ace up my sleeve. If I need a set piece goal, which Liguilla is all about set piece goals, he's like, I'm gonna break out of Diva play. And look at Diva scores a goal on the corner kick. I called it. I was one game early. That's it.
He didn't score when you want him though. That's how Vegas always wins. Never happens when you want it to happen.
Right, but you know, I called. I technically called it.
He was so open. I thought he was gonna miss.
Yeah, it looked like he tried to miss.
let me just say that I had a feeling he was gonna score when Alexis Vega picks up the ball and kisses it.
Yeah,
there's something about it. I got a good feeling that moment.
Then that Alexis That's Vega celebration good. that was yeah. Nice to see. It meant you see
That's
how like much
iconic
it meant to him.
Iconic. Yeah. That will be forever.
That's a great
in
great
a picture
celebration.
And video. Yeah, and like you hear the. You hear the announcers like right before the corner kick because I think he was about to make 2 subs and he holds them on for the corner kick.
Yeah, he
holds
them
back. Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's like break out the Diva play.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I should have bet again.
In
on
case
him.
Of
I should
emergency,
have just put money
break.
On him again. Yeah, break I should have done it. I don't know why I didn't do it. Damn, I was so mad when he scored. I was like, God damn it! Like,
damn, bro, what were the odds of that? That was crazy.
Plus 2,000.
Jeez.
Yeah. On the
I
first
feel like
game.
That's not enough.
I imagine it was probably the same for the second game. Probably around plus 2,000.
Shout out Flo's gambling corner. Probably lost a lot of people's money.
Yeah, I don't put my bets out there because I don't want people to blame me for
that.
We
don't promote that.
No. I'll be a degenerate all on my own. Thank you very much.
Do you guys still go half? You guys don't go half and half anymore?
No, I can legally gamble in New York now.
Ah, oh, bro, so I can't do that in Florida,
I just
bro.
Do it. Yeah, we got DraftKings out here now.
Yeah,
so we can do it. All right, so we're moving on from Atlas. We have America in the semifinals. I think I watched the. I didn't watch it. I had it on as background noise, and then I started watching once they went down 2-0.
Because which one? They America game?
San Luis and America game, yeah. Because they watched San Luis 3-1 in that first game at San Luis. And then America looked terrible, and San Luis was up 2-0 on them. They needed one more goal to have America on the ropes and on the brink of elimination. But America scores late in the game and killed all those hopes, but that just goes back to something that we've always preached on the Chivas and not the podcast as well, that there is no team that is inevitable in Liga MX, right? Like you go to other leagues and obviously like Premier League you have Man City who's kind of inevitable, right? You have to have the perfect season to take the title from them. And we saw that with Arsenal this year. There's no team like that in Liga MX. There's no team that's a lock to win the league. It's so inconsistent. You know, you go from having a great game, right? You could be Tigres 3-0 one week and then go to lose to Mazatlan 4-0 the next week. There's no consistency in Liga MX.
Yeah, when
so
we beat Tigres,
anything can
the
happen.
Final.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like no one expects. Who do you have? Like Carlos Fierro playing? Like. Players you don't expect to win, like, and I feel like even in the seasons where we've had bad seasons, and the seasons where we watched and they had bad seasons and we had hope, It's because they'll play a Monterrey and they'll play well against them. They'll play a good team and they'll play against them. It's like they've never looked like out of place. So I guess that's why we've always had hope.
Yeah, and that's what I'm holding on to going to these semifinals. Because if you watch that America team that played San Luis that second game, they were scared. They were on the brink of elimination, and it would have been such an upset, and it would have made so many headlines that they would have crashed out like that. And now we're going into it as the ultimate. We're going into the series as underdogs. I don't care what anybody says. Any Chivas fan that thinks we're the favorite is hallucinating. They're crazy. We are definitely the underdogs going into the series, and I think that's a good approach to it. I think we should go into it with a chip on our shoulders, where we got washed in the regular season Clásico. Obviously, we want to come out and try to impose ourselves onto America and open the score, but we also have to be smart and know that they have the offensive firepower to beat us. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Paunovic does over the next 180 minutes with this team after the brutal loss that we suffered in the regular season.
Yeah, no, we've reached that point in the season where it's not so much about how you play anymore, right? It's now you get the result. Find a way to get the result. It's going to be interesting what he does with Alonso, who had just coming off a great game. Like, how much do you keep sending him up the flank and leaving his side open, you know, to get attacked? But for some reason, and even though I haven't watched many games, there's something about Paunovic that I'm starting to trust. I'm starting to believe in him. That whatever he has to change, that he'll find a way to do it.
I told you, I feel so stupid because I'm like all in. Vibes
all over again, bro.
Yeah, I've been listening to what's it called, Te Deseo Lo Mejor, every morning on my walk to the subway every morning. Listen to that song since the Liguilla started.
Let me just say, I love. Shout out to whoever it was before the play. Was it before the Liguilla started? That someone asked Paunovic if he's gonna talk to Almeida about how you play the Liguilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then he responded with, "Well, he has an apartment in the same building. Maybe I'll reach out to him." Obviously, I don't think he reached out to him. But the fact that, you know, he played into it, you know.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of coaches would have gotten offended.
Clearly, he understands the Almeida effect.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows what Almeida meant to fans and what he accomplished at the club. I feel like some coaches would have got mad at that question. Like, imagine saying that to Tuca Ferretti. He would have cursed out the reporter. He would have cursed him out.
or Piojo would have cursed him out, for sure.
Yeah, Piojo would have punched the reporter in the face again.
Bucetich? El Rey? Get the fuck out of here. that's, bro, I'm so pissed off. I can't even see those names out there. That shit pisses me off, bro.
I can't wait for him to not win the league again with the roster that they've given him. For him not to win the league again, it's going to be amazing. I just hope he doesn't win. I don't know what's going to happen. No, I'm not even going to think about it. We're going to win the league. That's it. What do you think? What do you think for America? First leg predictions, second leg predictions?
First leg and second leg. I was going to say it's difficult because it is two games. So I think I'm going to give an overall prediction and say that I think overall we win the 3-2. I think 3-2 is a good prediction. It won't be easy. Clearly, America has a talented roster. They attack very well, so it's not going to be easy. But I'm all in, bro. I'm all in on Chivas. We only need to win two. We only have to win two games.
It's true. We only need two wins, a draw, a win, somehow, some combination of that, and we're through.
I don't know. Even the loss. How we're going to use Alan Mosso? I don't know how we're going to use him attacking wise. Because it's going to be very crucial how we attack. I'm sure he'll tell him to, like, the defense to shift over when he attacks, but he'll be an important part to the attack.
It's also nice that we're going to have a coach that will, I'm going to say 99.9% not play Chico at that left wing just because we're playing America. Because after Vucetich and the two bangers, was it three? I think it was three bangers, right? That he scored on the Choa? Oh, I don't know. I don't remember if it was two or three. Nah, but after he scored those bangers. Like 10 games. Yeah, after he scored those bangers, every time we play America, whatever coach we had would put him on the left wing just because of that. You know how sad that is that you're a professional coach and you're like,
not a winger.
He did that one time, so I'm going to plug him in at the left wing. Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
So 99.9% sure that Paunovic is not going to play Chicote Calderon at the left wing. I don't even know if Chicote plays.
Has Alan Mosso played right wing? Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, because he is a right back. He's better like attacking from further back in the defense, like and making those runs into space and the
overlaps. Like,
the overlaps. The experiment with Chicote was so stupid.
Yeah. What's it called? I think he's just a better overall player now with Chivas, because the big thing about Mosso coming into, you know, when we got him was he's a defensive liability. And we even saw it with Pumas. The few games that I did watch him play and against like bigger teams, he would get exposed because they were countering and he wouldn't be there.
An America game.
Sure. Yeah. He would attack and he wouldn't be there. And early on, when he started with Chivas, I saw the effort. Like, if he made a run, and, like, say he... So, you know how some players get tackled, right? They fall, and they just kind of sit there for a couple seconds, and, you know, the team could play fast and break and counter. If he got fouled, he would get up as fast as he could and dash down the sideline. Dash to get back to his spot. And I think that's something that Paunovic put into his head. And I think he put it into Chicote Calderon's head as well. Because Chicote, too, now, he won't push past, like, three-quarters of the field. It looks like he's kind of, like... It kind of reminds me, like, of a dog and having a shot collar on where they can't go past a certain point. And, like, to me, Chicote looks like he has a shot collar on, because as soon as he reaches that three-quarter mark of the field, he's not going past it. He starts running back. And I think that's something that Paunovic has put into their heads. And, you know, he's like, I'm going to let you guys... push, but if you guys are going to push, you guys are going to have to push and get back as soon as you can. And I think maybe for Chicote that the physicality of having to do that so many times in one game, maybe he doesn't have the condition for it. But Alan Mosso, I've seen, you know, he'll get knocked down at one end of the field and within like 10 seconds or whatever, he's back on the other side of the field. So I just think he's, maybe it's just, you know, his condition and he can do it more than Chicote can. But Chicote kind of has like a leash on him or a limit where he doesn't push past a certain point anymore.
Yeah, but
and I like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I like that because he was like a defensive liability. That's why I was always like big on Ponce, because Ponce could kind of do enough of both and it wouldn't hurt you like 90% of the time. 85% of the time, it wouldn't hurt you.
But then when Chicote,
he was like so offensive-minded that it would kill you in the back.
Well, both of them are. Like,
yeah.
To play with two offensive-minded, like, I mean, pretty much attacking-minded fullbacks, like, you kind of have to hold both of them back a little bit and let them understand that when one attacks, the other one has to stay back.
Yeah, but I think that's a Paunovic thing, because I don't think any other coach that we've had in the past
Every other coach would just say, well, I'm not using Chicote.
Yeah.
And that was their way out.
A lot. Yeah.
And that was what we always said. Like, Belais, you sign these offensive-minded players, and then you hire these defensive-minded coaches. Paunovic is fitting them into the system.
Yeah. I am interested to see what starting 11 Paunovic puts out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because
to be losing 1-0 against Atlas and... take out Chicote, an offensive-minded player, for Chiquete, and be able to pull off in a game where he needed to score. Like, it shows a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember the lineup that we put out, that he put out for the Clásico during the regular season. But I do know, I'm like 95% sure that Pollo Briseño wasn't a, no, he wasn't a starter, because I remember when Henry Martin did that celebration. When Henry Martin did the celebration of the Cuauhtémoc celebration, they're like, Pollo would have broke his back in half if he did that.
It was Steve and Chiquete Orozco were the two center backs. Right.
And who were the Mosso got killed, Mosso, and I think Chicote. It was Chicote on the left.
Yeah. Okay. And then in the middle, you had Eloso González, Alvarado, Nene Beltran. We had both Cisneros playing.
Oh, okay. So he went 1-9 that game.
And that's Victor Guzmán.
No, Vega. Oh, right. Vega was still hurt.
Vega was off the bench. Vega came off the bench.
Yeah, that was like one of his first games back from injury.
I'm looking at the ratings, and Vega was like the best player. Vega was the best rated player that game off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, we're a new... Vega's in form now. Nene Beltran... Did Nene Beltran not play that game?
No, he did.
He played. Somebody got a... Oh, Pocho Guzmán got a red card.
Pocho Guzmán got the red card.
Yeah, okay.
The second
one. All right, so we're going to need big games from Vega...
But when you look at the lineup, it's a completely different lineup.
Then Beltran, yeah. And that's the thing, too. Do you think Pollo Briseño starts again against America and Chiquete starts at left back?
Henry Martin, I would say, is a lot different striker than Furch.
Right.
But he's also he's also good in the air.
Very physical.
He's also a physical striker as well. Mm-hmm. So I could see him starting again.
I feel like you kind of have to ride the Pollo wave and like the momentum and the energy he brought to the team, because he was like keeping fans in it, like he was pumping fans up every other play. He's a guy that gets the crowd involved, and the crowd loves him. The fans love
him. Looking at the Atlas lineup, I think I would keep the exact same lineup.
I wouldn't be mad at it. I would not. I think. Piojo Alvarado was invisible, though, like most of the game. He kind of had moments later in the game, but the first, 60 minutes, he was just invisible to me.
A bad touch. He does have, a weird dribbling style.
I just don't think we found...
He takes long touches on the dribble.
Yeah, we haven't really found, the right spot for him with this team. He hasn't really been... a big factor this season.
Well, we're using him where? More central, right?
Yeah, kind of like a... Well, sometimes as a false nine. Yeah. And then kind of like a camish role. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I don't really know where he plays. And that's the problem, that he disappears so much. And then when he does show up, it's like, oh, well, I don't know you were going to be there. And then
I'm a Pavel Perez fan.
Yeah, big Pavel Perez.
There's a part of me that, because he just has so much more experience, I'd probably stick with Alvarado. And keep. I like Pavel Perez off the bench.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't know if he's like a 90-minute player, which is like a weird thing to say, but that's a thing. I like him in those last 30, 25 minutes of the game.
I think if you need a spark off the bench, if you know your team is looking stagnant, throw in Pablo Perez and he changes the game for you.
Again, no facts, though. this is all me just off barely watching.
No, it's true. Pablo Perez is a super sub. He plays a super sub role pretty well. I do want to touch a little on negative aspects that aren't really being talked about just because of the good season that Chivas has had. Okay. The lack of, some of our youngsters' lack of minutes and the fact that they didn't fit into this team. We had Zaid Munoz was a part of the first team, barely got any minutes. Yeah, he was part of the first team, barely got any minutes this season. He was kind of a wash by Paunovic. Fans were really excited about him coming up to the first team. He never really got a shot. And then our guy that was kind of the new shiny toy, Perez Buquet, was completely erased this season. I don't remember.
Wasn't
him
there
playing.
Rumors that
that his first season?
Wasn't there rumors that his was over like a contract thing?
That he got supposedly punished? Supposedly it was because he didn't want to sign with the promotion that's involved with Chivas or something like that, right? The promoter that gives the most money to Chivas, something like that. So he didn't want to sign with them, and that's why they threw him into the Tapatio, and that's why he hasn't played on the first team. But I think, I don't remember if Carlos said that wasn't true or something like that. But that's something that hasn't been talked about and kind of just been swept under the rug because we've been playing well. Imagine we were ass and Pérez Buquet didn't get any minutes the whole season.
I'm gonna trust Paunovic in this sense. I mean, he's using Chiquetero, who's like 20, what is it, like 20, 21, 22 years old?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, some of our young, like Luis Olivas, who was a promising center back, completely erased this season. He hasn't gotten minutes, and that's supposedly it's because we have two. If he plays, we would have two left-footed center backs, and they don't want to play with that.
Yeah.
So Luis Olivas got erased. Zaid Munoz got erased. Sergio Pérez Buquet got erased. Then we're struggling at goalkeeper. I think
Are we? What's up? Lifetime contract, please.
Long term, I think we're in trouble, goalkeeper. I don't think. I mean, if we win the league and Joaquin Jimenez wins the league, that is such a Liga MX moment and anomaly that. Because Joaquin's like, what, 30 something? And he just started.
He's older?
Yeah. Joaquin's old, bro.
Yeah, who's that? What was that goalie that came from Portugal that we had? Tall one. Who was young?
Oh, Godinho.
Yeah, all right, look, this is my thing with goalies. I feel like even at their worst, like the worst moments of Godinho, like I don't like. All right, can there be times where they make a mistake and we lose? Yes, but I don't think they're so bad where it's like, man, we will never win with those guys. You know, like I feel like Chivas does a good job of producing goalkeepers.
Right, we have one kid in Tapatio, and you know we don't really watch Tapatio like that, so I'm not gonna say. I don't even know the kid's name, but I think his nickname is El Dragon, I think, and that he's supposed to be really good, but
like
we haven't
like a young really national.
Like, yeah, we haven't really given him any player. Yeah, any looks or whatever. But Joaquin Jimenez is 33. He didn't start for Chivas until probably last season or whatever.
Keepers can play a lot longer, so.
Right, but goalkeepers win you championships, and Joaquin Jimenez is just...
He won us the game the other day.
Just a ticking time bomb, like, you're just waiting for him to mess up. We saw the regular season mess ups. Dude, the Chivas Twitter account put out a highlight reel for him because he was getting murdered on social media. They put out a highlight reel, and they're like, hey, but don't forget the moments that he did this. And it's like, yeah, but if you put a low light reel, it's just as bad. Like, they cancel each other out.
Yeah, speaking of Chivas Twitter account, whoever runs the English, it's not that much better, let's be honest. Like, it's all right. Like, you guys got to do
it's
better.
It's been a lot better, though.
But it's...
Compared to where it was. The bar was so low.
I think I have it muted. I don't know if it's worthy of being unmuted yet.
It's gotten better. I don't know who runs it now. I've tried to find out and nobody knows. But it's gotten better. I think it's Fernando Giacardi that's running it. And he's been doing a better job. Because when it first started, remember that... what was that tweet? The micro-infarct?
Micro-infarct.
They're like, oh my god, just had a micro... Or they just tweeted, I think, micro-infarct. And I was like, what the hell is a micro-infarct?
Someone tweeted that the other day.
Yeah, somebody this over the after the Atlas game, they tweeted to us and they tagged the Chivas English Twitter account. They're like, I think I had a micro infarct, and they put like a bunch of laughing emojis, and I was like, I started dying when I saw that tweet, because I was like, oh, you know, like you were here. Because I think we took shots at that tweet, even.
Who didn't?
Yeah, that was bad. But I think they've been doing better. They do have, like we said, they have the We Goat You show now. And I watch every now and then when I can. Just cause,
you were on it. You were a guest. You guys can go watch back and watch. Can you go back and watch it?
Yeah, go back and watch my episode.
Yeah, because I watched it the day after. I
think. Except there. I don't think I tweeted it from
Pride Bar to get kicked out.
Hey, we'll that's, we've back. Said it. We've said it. You know, we can't.
Varro won't be allowed back.
We don't bite our tongue when we talk about Chivas. We say what's in our heart, what's in our head, and you know, obviously the team is not going to pay you or hire you to talk shit about the team, right? Imagine having this dark, you know. let's take a second and talk about the bad things that have happened under Paunovic. No team is going to let you go on their official platform and badmouth the team, like, and that's why we're here, right? We're for the people, for the fans, by the fans, right?
Yeah. That's what made us an award-winning podcast, by the way.
All right, so my prediction for Chivas America, I think it's going to be, obviously it's going to be a tough series. I feel like we grind out a 2-1, we advance 2-1 aggregate score. I think that the first game at Akron ends 1-0 in our favor, and then we go to Azteca and get a tie, 1-1 tie.
There's things like the fact that you said that, like you know how there's certain teams that say, do you want to go in with a 1-0 lead into their home? Would you rather go 0-0, everything's calm, to like keep that pressure away that you're gonna feel, you know?
I think going into that second game with a 1-0 lead would be a great situation to be in. Because America is going to have all the pressure in the world on them. They're going to have to go for the... I think their crowd and the Mexican media is going to like force them to go after it from minute one. And if you can withstand that like first 15-minute wave, that's always, you know, when teams are going for a win and need to win, you need to always withstand those first 15 minutes. If you don't concede a goal in those first 15 minutes, you can work your way into the game. And eventually, you know, we have players that can counter them. They have Nestor Araujo and that's, center and back. That's that guy's slow as shit. Like,
who?
We can Nestor Araujo, he's their center back. Like, come on.
Play for them?
Yeah, freaking dinosaur. Like, if Alexis Vega can't dribble around them, like... Get Vega off my team.
Look, if we go in with a lead to their, there's gonna be those 15 minutes will be so crucial. There's gonna be players like Pocho Guzman and Vega. That's where they earn their money in those situations, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And I think you saw it. I don't know if you caught on to it at the end of the Atlas game. Like there were so many times where they were just kicking the ball away, and Vega was getting frustrated.
Yeah,
because they were just giving them the ball right back to keep crossing, keep sending balls to Fortune Vega. Like he wanted the ball. Although the one time they gave it to him, he lost it. But still,
but he did get us out of our
right.
It was his goal to get the ball out of our half with the ball at his feet, not just chuck it,
not just give it away right away.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's too much. It's hard to withstand that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. And then you know, sitting back and planning on sitting back doesn't help. But yeah, I think. If I pick with my heart, 2-1 Chivas aggregate score, and we move on to the final, which I will be in San Francisco for if we make it. So we have any listeners from San Francisco and recommend the place?
If they make the final as a part of me, that I might consider for my birthday as a nice little birthday gift is going to maybe go watch the game. I have to tell that, my, to talk to my nice. Friends over. I've talked to my friends over at We Go You. see the guy that hook up to tickets.
Get a Chivas del Norte suite going.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'd be right there. Well,
hey, I never.
Yeah, I'd be there.
Gabby always invited me to the Twitter Spaces, and I'm always like busy playing FIFA. I can never get on. But I'm gonna have to join the Charla Chiva in person.
There you go. That'd be dope.
Yeah,
so, yeah, hopefully we advance to the final. I think We have the team. We have a team that can do it. We have a team that's united. We have a team that wants it. And if they're gonna keep remaking these videos of them singing the song from 2017 over and over again, they can't be frauds. You can't do that. You can't keep making these videos singing "Te deseo lo mejor" in the locker room and not end up winning the championship again. Frauds.
Nah, yeah, for sure.
Can't be frauds.
Listen, I think we believe in the team. We believe in our coach, which is most important.
Absolutely.
Listen, like I told you, we've reached the point where that's how you get by. You get by on belief and just a little bit of luck on your side.
Win no matter what, right? Win however you can. You want to win ugly, win ugly. I don't care. Chicote, get to the final.
If the leash is like tight, he ain't even allowed to like cross midfield, I won't care if we win the game.
If we I was going to say, we have to resort to putting Chicote that left winger. But God, that was... That was such a failed experiment.
You know, you say that, and there's a part of me that thinks, like, fuck, how do we use Alan Mosso while not having him being a defensive liability? Because you put it in that right wing.
Who are you going to put, though? Chapo Sanchez? We don't have a backup right back. We're back to square one, where it's like...
Boy, saying you are right back.
Nah, remember, that was one of our issues, where we were like, who's our backup right back to Chapito Sanchez? And there was nobody. And then Mosso comes in, and now it's like... Who's his backup? You're like, you're not gonna play Chapo Sanchez. Yeah.
Listen, well, I'm excited. I'm done. My soccer season comes to an end coaching, so this weekend I have a tournament, so plenty of time to record if they win.
There we go. Yeah. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah.
All right, I think that was good. We have about an hour and a half of audio. I think I'm just going to put it straight up. I don't think I need to edit anything.
Nah, just
I don't think there's really any dead points. So we're going to go put it up, just the raw file, put in the intro music, and call it a day. Everybody that listened, thank you for listening to another episode of the Chivas del Norte podcast. Chivas versus America, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yeah.
Yep, and then Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time as well. And you also have Chivas Femenil Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That will be away at Pachuca. And then we have their second leg at home, which they'll be playing at El Jalisco on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're fans of both teams, if you've watched Chivas Femenil and Chivas Varonil, you're going to have 180 minutes of soccer to watch on Thursday and 180 minutes of soccer to watch on Sunday. So great
Start
time.
Start faking your cough tomorrow. Great. Call out of work Thursday.
Great time to be a Chivas fan. Great time.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for listening. We are out.
Peace.